Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello? Yeah, hey, it's Pete calling. I just wanted to confirm that this afternoon is still good. Well, what do you mean you don't remember confirming this? I'm already on my fucking way. Jesus Christ, man. Like, what?
Pete, who is it?
It's Martin.
Well, what's Martin want?
Well, he said that apparently he doesn't remember confirming an appointment with us, but we're already in the fucking car.
Yeah, what the fuck, Martin?
Hang on, listen, I can't talk to you anymore. I'm driving, so I'll see you when I see you, but just understand that this is a huge inconvenience for us. The Lore Boys hat is. It's Lore Boys.
I guess if Martin's canceling, do you want to just record a podcast then, Peter?
I suppose so, yeah. I hope that confused you for a split second where you think you accidentally answered a phone call the instant you chose to play this podcast. Or if you're not listening on mobile, then that probably didn't make any sense to you.
Yeah, one can dream, though.
Yeah, girl can dream.
It was a Skype call. Ba-doop.
Yep. Boop. Yeah. It's Discord, whatever those noises are.
Cha-ching. Kapow. Yeah. Zing-zam.
Boff.
Boff. Biff. Bap.
Biff, bap, boff. Yeah. Which is a lot of old Batman.
Classic 60s Batman.
Yeah, the...
Where they didn't make the noises, they just showed them on the screen.
Zulf. It's Lore Boys, though.
We weren't alive then.
Welcome back. I was not. I've never even been to the 80s.
I've never been to the 60s, for sure.
I'm a babby. My name is Peter O'Donohue the second, technically. My grandfather, Peter O'Donohue, died in a helicopter crash somewhere in northern BC. And with me here is...
Ethan Palmer. I'm very fast.
He's also very fast, which he has affirmed 3 times now on the show.
At least thrice, yeah.
Thrice affirmed, very fast. And we have Ice here because we are babysitting Jamie's apartment while he is still in Poland.
Yeah, just because he leaves the country doesn't mean we're not going to use his apartment for parties and podcasts.
Exactly. There are cans everywhere.
We've cleared ourselves little can angels to record in.
Yeah.
We just got our mic set up in front of them.
Yeah, so that's it. Following the week where we did a collab with a Daryl Murphy, correct?
No, Daryl is his character on Stranger Lands.
What the hell's his real name?
Murphy. You got it.
Murphy. Sorry. Shows how much I pay attention. Yeah, from Stranger Lands.
The wonderful Murphy who plays Daryl on Stranger Lands.
Welcome, any new listeners. goodbye, any listeners that may have left. Yeah. Due to the last episode, if you just just hate Stranger Lands so much, it's just the fucking worst.
Well, I really like this show, but now they brought Stranger Lands into it, I'm not so sure.
Hashtag boycott the Lore Boys.
Yeah.
Lore boycott.
Lore boycott.
Oh, that's your hashtag, that's kids. Go for it. Remember to burn any Lore Boys merchandise that you have purchased. Destroy your own property in protest. I think that's always a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. But yes. Buy the property first and then destroy it.
Yeah.
That'll show us.
You don't want to steal it because that's a crime.
That is a crime. You wouldn't want to commit a crime.
You don't want to be a dirty crime boy. No. Anyway, yes, welcome to any new listeners. And thanks again to Murph for joining us.
The old Murph.
I can't call you Murph, right? He's not here to let me.
Is that okay, Murph?
Yeah. Hey, Murph, I can call you Murph right
Murph,
there.
Murph, have a seat, Murph.
Bud. Yeah. so that's it. And then there was some other thing I felt like I needed to mention.
Your dance recital, dude. You want everyone to come.
Right. So if you check out our Twitter right now, the address to my recital is there. It would be great if you could come, especially because my parents won't.
Not since the last time.
Exactly.
You embarrassed them so bad in that dance off.
I got very drunk for that recital, and I dropped my partner when I was supposed to catch her, and she cracked 4 ribs.
Yeah.
2 on each side, so she can't even sit up anymore.
Yeah. One of them flew out and hit your dad.
Yeah.
Well, hit his drink, but
and it landed in his drink. And it knocked the celery out of his Caesar.
Oh,
and, and then he poked himself in the eye with it. He's like, whose fucking rib is this?
That's what I call a bloody Caesar.
Hey. And it was. And it was. If it comes back to me, I'll mention it. There's four BattleTech episodes we've already done.
Four we've done or three we've done?
Four. We did Primer. We did the Clan Invasion.
We did a Primer.
We did the FedCom Civil War. And
we did the Blake Jihad.
Yeah.
I was forgetting FedCom.
Yeah. And we did the Blake Jihad. So you're going to really want to listen to all of those already. I'm giving you, right now, I'm assigning you 4.5 hours of homework. Yeah. Just in case you stumble across this one first.
Yeah.
This is the fifth BattleTech episode. They all kind of bleed into each other.
Well, I'll link them all together on the blog whenever I put it up on there. So that's theloreboys.com.
Yeah, theloreboys.
Theloreboys.com. Yeah,
which I fucked up when I updated our Instagram bio. I was like, loreboys.com, which, ooh, surprisingly, is furry porn.
Really?
No.
Oh, damn it. I got so excited.
No, it's not.
I got so excited about the cross-brand promotions.
The URL doesn't go anywhere. It's theloreboys.com,
yeah.
Where we're going to have that all up. But yeah, more BattleTech. More of that good stuff. I don't know if I had mentioned my disappointment with the BattleTech game that recently came out.
You said it was slow, I think, last time I recorded.
Characters are fine, but without voice acting, it's hard to care about them.
Okay, that's fair.
It
was like a partially crowdfunded game?
Yeah, exactly. So without voice acting, it's hard to care about the characters. I remember one name from the entire game. Her name is Dr. Farah Murad,
but that is
because that is the name of someone I already know in real life.
Dr. Farah...
Not a doctor, but Farah Murad.
Okay. You just outed Farah Murad. She knows Peter, everybody.
Whoops.
Get her.
Yeah. all the other characters, I have no idea what their names are. And it really pissed me off that a game being made in conjunction with whatever the fuck his name is, like Weissman, the guy who created BattleTech,
yeah.
He made another new apocryphal tale, just like all the other video games, so it's not set during any of the cool events that you might want to geek out after.
Okay.
It's just like, here's new princess. She deposed.
Yeah, she's been kidnapped by Bowser. Go help her.
Help her. And then, and the fake out at the beginning is so fucking bad. Fucking spoilers for this tutorial for BattleTech. There is an intro mission.
Okay.
Where the woman is clearly still alive, talking to you, the player, saying, oh, it was you, mercenary, who helped me reclaim my throne. And then she has, like, a fake-out death at the end of the tutorial, and then two missions in comes back and is just like, I was alive the whole time. I'm like, bitch, you did the intro.
Pulls the Scooby-Doo mask off.
Yeah. Like, bitch, you did the intro narration talking about how I beat the game. Like, yeah. What the fuck? Like, who greenlit this?
Yeah.
Anyway, the game is... all the management is fine. I like running a space company. The combat is... just absolute fucking trash.
Yeah, I watched you play for a while. It looked really slow. Not only because, like, it's a turn-based game, but because they do, like, extensive animations for each of the things that you want to do.
Which is fine.
It's fine, but it's, like, when it's already a slow game and they walk at, like, 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you just watch them as they, like, slowly turn around, then, like, slowly aim their guns, then fire off 3 rockets on every turn.
Yeah.
It just gets...
One of the main issues is you cannot select the part you want to shoot, and the mechs have, like, 9 hitboxes.
Oh, yeah?
And you don't get to choose. So you can have a called shot if you have the morale high enough, but you need to get kills to get the morale. So you need to use a called shot to, like, kill a guy. It's been patched extensively in the past couple of months. I don't know if it's better.
Okay.
I consider my purchase a donation to the Church of MechWarrior, which will one day get me into heaven.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
expect no results at present
because
I fucking hate that game. It's so bad.
It'll get you into the periphery.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get on that ship.
Like, just whatever. What's his name? Kerensky's going to take me out to space and I'm going
to
come back.
Take you out to space, shoot your dad, and then throw you a bone club and say, go at it with your new clan.
Yeah, because I'm a big juiced up elemental now.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back so strong. But yeah, It for me, it was an investment in the brand of BattleTech. I'm not sure if I'll ever get a return on that, but I am, of course, happy to have done it.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that's okay, please go buy the game. If not, don't. It's not good.
Yeah, maybe see if you can find gameplay from, like, this patch on the YouTube or something.
It's a pretty small download.
Yeah.
But I know I checked the Steam page recently just when I was doing this research, and, like, the reviews now are mixed. So the opinion of the game has just universally gone down since people started buying it.
Oh, it was thumbs up.
It was like it was, like, overwhelmingly positive when all the fanboys bought it, like, mostly positive when people started to play it, and just like, well, it's kind of fucking boring, then now it's mixed, which is, like, 61% positive reviews. Yeah. It's like, hey, you know what? I agree with these people. This game isn't... It's not good.
No, it's not good.
Anyway, you know what is good?
Well, before... Yeah, the newest Battletech lore boys will be very good, but before we jump into that, for the absolute mad lads who are still listening to this without listening to the other four, do we want to do like a quick...
Yes, please.
Quick cover?
Ethan, tell me what you remember about the old Battletech.
We had the first episode of the Primer, we had Alexander Kerensky, who you mentioned, who was this leading general or scientist or something.
Yes, he was... the head of the Star League Defense Force, who was basically Space UN.
Yeah, the UN, because there's five major houses?
Ooh, that I don't remember, actually.
Five or six major houses.
Steiner, Davion, Liao, Merrick, Karita, and...
So five or six.
Another one, to my knowledge.
Definitely another one?
Yeah, I think so. House Merrick is the oldest one. That's a Free Worlds League. They're the purple house.
Okay.
With the Falcon.
Okay. They're all purple helmets.
Yeah.
Every
single one of them.
So, yeah, so Alexander Kerensky kind of served as the head of this UN Space Force until he decided, like, hey, man, these houses are actually causing a lot of strife rather than fixing it. I'm going to offer all the smartest people in the galaxy the chance to come with me outside of the local cluster and go to what's called the periphery, deep periphery.
Yeah.
So they went there. On the way, there was a mutiny of some description. Whether it was a mutiny or just Kerensky himself going a little crazy with power is up for debate. He killed a couple people. It descended into chaos. They got to the periphery, and they all descended into clan warfare using these mechs, which I guess we should have mentioned in a Mech Warrior podcast.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, they all pilot these mechs. They get out to the deep periphery, where they devolve into clans using... clan technology, which is just mechs with replaceable parts.
Yeah, I mean, the weapons are better as well, because he took all the smartest people and they continued to develop shit, right? So leaving people behind who didn't really know how to operate factories or improve mechs means the clan tech continued to advance.
He took all the R&D departments.
He took all the science boys. Yeah, exactly.
They eventually come back.
They do.
A laundry list of reasons. There was another mutiny, and one clan leader died, and in a Agni Kai or whatever it is. The clans come back. They start destroying the houses and the Kerensky's old space force.
Yep.
Until somebody says, "Please stop," for just like 15 years.
It was AT&T. Remember, it was Comstar, the communications company, who was so powerful they also had their own military called the Com Guards.
Yeah. So they said, just stop, just wait for 18 years, and then we'll be good. One guy waited 5 years?
So I believe...
The Jade Falcons, was it?
It was Lincoln Osis from the Smoke Jaguars.
Smoke Jaguars.
Who waited 3 years instead of 15.
3 years instead of 18.
I think it was 15 years.
Okay. Look, if I said 15, then you said 18.
I don't have this completely
now
committed...
Now you're saying 15.
I'm going to say 15, yeah. I don't have this completely committed to memory. I did put a lot of it down on the recording.
15 sounds right to me, too.
Yeah.
Then... Comstar beat them back. Lincoln Osis was working for Comstar at the time.
No, Lincoln Osis was a clanner. He was the head of the Smoke Jaguars.
The guy from House Steiner Davion.
Yes, Victor.
Victor Steiner Davion, who was like the merger of two of the bigger houses.
Correct.
Ended up leading the Comstar forces to victory. Comstar went full Verizon. The next episode, we talked about the Blake Jihad, which ties back into Comstar and the founder of Comstar.
Well, we actually talked about the FedCom Civil War, which was after the clans when...
Okay,
I believe it was after the clans. Fuck, even my history's a little jumbled at the moment. Getting a little bamboozled.
Maybe we should have listened to those four episodes.
Yeah, I know. I don't have 4 hours to do that.
So before or after the clan invasion? I think it was after the clan invasion. That's the only thing that makes sense, because they were using clan mechs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was Victor Steiner Davion, who wasn't around whenever Kerensky left.
No, he wasn't born yet.
Yeah, so let's say it was after the clan invasion. There was the FedCom Civil War, which ended in Victor Steiner Davion's death.
No, he
killed somebody else.
He killed Lincoln Osis with a sword, if you remember.
Oh, that was the clan invasion.
During Operation Bulldog.
Yeah.
And then the FedCom Civil War is because his stepsister tried to take over space.
Oh, that's right.
It was
a federated
Commonwealth was the merged houses of Steiner and Davion.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Crazy Sister tries to take over space. He stops it.
Yep. Then we have the Blake Jihad.
Then we have the Blake Jihad, which is where the founder of Comstar was deified after his death.
Yep.
And they devolved into like this weird cult thing.
Yes. Yeah. Basically that. And then we pick up now after the Blake Jihad.
10,000 years of darkness.
Something like that. Yeah. It's Warhammer again.
Yeah.
obviously, we kind of rambled through that one. I don't remember everything perfectly. Ethan's obviously got a hell of a lot of that down just from the previous episodes, but I guarantee we got that mostly right previous episodes.
Mostly right, which is an A in Lore Boys greetings.
Exactly. So if you want to hear me sound like I know what I'm saying, go back and listen to those episodes, and that's the last time I will assign any homework to you.
Mm-hmm. Ever and forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter promise.
Yeah, that's a Peter pinky promise right there. Stick your pinky out, rub it against your phone.
Yeah,
that's the promise. So now we're coming back, right? We're coming back with a familiar name, which you didn't mention because I know he just kind of comes up at the end of the Blake Jihad, because he is the guy with the sexy porn alias, Devlin Stone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he kind of comes out of nowhere.
I said, oh, yeah, 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 like I remembered who it is, but no, I remember the sexy porn alias.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's why I tell jokes. It's so people remember what I'm saying.
That's it.
Right?
You remember the jokes.
No one would listen to me otherwise. You remember the goofs.
Yeah, yeah.
little is known about the early life of Devlin Stone. Even Comstar, of all things, has no records of his existence prior to the 3070s.
Okay.
So AT&T, with the military that controls all communication in the inner sphere, has no records of this man existing. He simply came out of nowhere as an adult man, helped stomp the jihadis, and went from there, right?
And went to here.
Exactly, to here. Where am I? Yeah, so he led the insurrection at the Word of Blake prison camp on the planet of Kittery. And this is a prison camp that he came into a contact with another important character named David Lear, spelled
heard,
like King
have we heard
Lear.
Of Lear yet?
No.
Okay.
Who is the son of Kai Allard Liao of House Liao. Now, this guy, I wrote a little thing kind of in here, because this guy's kind of like Forrest Gump for our MechWarrior podcast.
Kai Allard?
Kai Allard Liao. He was basically in and around every single event that we talked about, but I haven't mentioned him up to this point
because
I just usually focus down on the Karinskys or the Davions or the Steiners, right?
But you watch that old Nixon tape and he's there in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and he tells JFK that he has to pee.
Yeah, exactly.
The weird CGI JFK mouth. He was a Colosseum champion on Solaris 7.
Okay.
For 2 years straight, leading some people to call him the greatest mech warrior of his generation.
Okay.
In 3059, and this is Kai Allard Liao that we're talking about. In 3059, he led the first St. Ives Lancers, which is his own private little squad.
Okay.
During Operation Bulldog, which was when they crushed Clan Smoke Jaguar.
Yeah.
He was in command of the liberation of a planet called Terra Zed and took part in the battles of Caripare and Schuyler, which we have not talked about and will not get into right now.
Just battles.
Just
know that there are battles and he was there.
He was in charge.
Kai Allard.
Exactly. And then after the end of the operation, he joined Victor Steiner Davion in the mop-up actions on Huntress, which was the Smoke Jaguar homeworld.
Okay.
And the Great Refusal on Strana Mekti, which was the clan Holy World, with Kerensky's corpse in a flying coffin around the planet,
okay,
right?
He's
in
geosynchronous
orbit.
Yeah, yeah.
In 3060, wherein, while piloting a Stormcrow battle mech, he defeated Khan Vlad Ward of Clan Wolf, who we did mention was him and the lady from Jade Falcon, who were the two people in the background who were Clans Wolf and Jade Falcon were like, yeah, don't worry, Smoke Jaguar, we'll totally help you, Lincolnosis, you're not a bloodthirsty madman. And then they didn't help him. Yeah, exactly. So he defeated Vlad Ward of Clan Wolf. But we, of course, didn't talk about him because we focused on Victor and him actually cutting off Lincolnosis'
head
with a katana, because sword beats mech.
Exactly. That's where the art came from
all the time
in that episode.
Yes, where he's being launched
being shot out of a mech with a katana in hand.
Katana in hand, exactly. He assisted Victor Davion during the FedCom Civil War.
Okay.
He was just around.
He's there too. Yeah.
Yeah. And during the jihad, this is another character who I just threw in here. During the Blake jihad, he was abducted by a shadowy character who has existed seemingly for centuries, known as the Bounty Hunter. Capital T, capital B, capital H. I do want to talk about the Bounty Hunter quickly because it's the first time I've seen their name pop up. What?
It's Dog.
Dog the Bounty Hunter? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got his mullet in there. The Bounty Hunter is fucking awesome.
Okay.
So he or she, because they never speak and never take off their power armor, so nobody knows who they are, is speculated that the power armor is speculated that it either keeps them alive or is passed on from hunter to hunter due to the amount of time the hunter has been around. Originally, the hunter piloted a Griffin medium mech, which is in the Battletech game that we were talking about. It's kind of like a humanoid-shaped thing. It's got a little tubular cannon on the side of its shoulder.
Tubular.
It's so rad. It's got a surfboard.
Yeah. It shoots surfboards.
The boom, 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 boom.
Surf's up, bitches.
Yeah, I wish that there was an ability in the game that just gave the Griffin a surfboard. I think that game infinitely more playable.
Somebody mod it.
Yeah, exactly. The Hunter then stole Natasha Kerensky's Marauder heavy mech and piloted that for something like 30 years.
So this power armor fits under, like he or she enters the mech in their power armor? Presumably?
Correct. So I'm going to get into that in a second. Later, they piloted a Mad Cat and a Marauder 2. The Bounty Hunter's identity is still completely unknown, and their mechs are always modified so that they continue to wear their armor while piloting the mech. The armor looks a lot like Doomguy, actually. I'll show you a picture afterwards. It's very 80s sci-fi. Loved it.
I was picturing Boba Fett.
No. Despite the fact he is the only cool-looking character in the Star Wars canon.
Star Wars canon.
Other than Phasma, who is equally as worthless. No, he's got... It's like a kind of like an opaque visor over... It looks a lot like 2016 Doomguy. Yeah, okay. A lot like that. And it's also like the same kind of dumb khaki green.
Cool. Accepted.
He's a Lego spaceman.
Cool.
Yeah. That would have been David Lear's father, Devlin met David Lear while in a jihadi prison camp.
Wait, the Bounty Hunter was David Lear's father?
No. The Bounty Hunter kidnapped David Lear's father.
Oh, okay.
In the past, during the jihad, but I only threw that in there because the Bounty Hunter is just fucking cool.
We want to talk about the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, it's my show, goddammit. I will put in random asides about Lego astronauts as much as I fucking want.
Yes.
Now we get back to Devlin and David Lear. David, Devlin met many of the leaders of the Inner Sphere and even the leaders of some of the clans, because after the invasion, they stopped being quite so troublesome.
That's fair, yeah.
Right, after they got defeated by Comstar,
after
they were like,
everyone got killed, yeah.
Yeah.
The dead are peaceful. Yeah. Say what you want about them.
Well, that's it. The dead are peaceful. That's a good title. That's a good title for the episode. So Devlin Stone prosecuted a hard-fought military campaign that culminated in the liberation of Terra in the 3080s. After the Word of Blake's jihad was defeated, Stone struck a bargain with all of the great houses except House Liao. Remember this. It's also strange that he would be hanging out with a Liao's son, because David Liao
is
in prison. And then that would be the one great house that doesn't really want to hang out with him.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Peter, what's going on? Why did that happen?
It's because if Battletech has taught us anything, is that people just can't ever get along. Ever.
Okay.
Ever, ever, ever. There is... It is... You think Warhammer is a bunch of fucking grimdark, edgy bullshit? That's only because it's kind of written that way.
Yeah.
Battletech is almost uncomfortably accurate about real people. We're just like, you know what? It's going to take us 1,000 years, and after multiple wars and the cult of Verizon almost killing us all, and we still can't agree on anything.
Can't get along.
When the guy who smacks down Verizon is just like, yo, what if we just had some peace for a while? And and one guy at House Liao was like, fuck that.
Who are you? Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
You can't tell me how to live my fucking life. Get the fuck out of here.
That's it. This is all in Geneva, too, on Earth.
Yeah.
Where was I? Yeah, except that. So that he wanted to cede control of some of the world's nearest Terra so that Stone could create his own nation, the Republic of the Sphere. He proved that he had no problem using military force when he took the planet from Liao that they had refused to hand over. So he looked at them, he was like, give me that for peace. He's like, and they were just like, oh yeah, fuck you. You want to fight about it? And he was like, All right.
Hell yeah, I do.
Hell yeah, I do.
I was hoping you'd say that.
I love fighting for peace. And he wins. He does take some of the planets back from House Liao.
Okay.
Yeah, so he took them. And then in October of 3073, Stone met with Victor Steiner Davion on Tuki'id, which
boy.
Is the planet
and
where
Tuki
Comstar...
is the big one.
Yep, exactly. Comstar first beat the clans.
Yep.
The Battle of Tuki'id. In a meeting arranged by David Lear. He was basically his agent.
Oh, nice.
He's just like, oh, listen... listen, Stone, baby, Devlin, you're going to be huge. Inner sphere huge. You're going to be drinking wine and champagne on Tuki'id with Steiner Davion. I'll make it happen for you, baby.
I don't know,
David. All you got to do is let me masturbate in the doorframe for a little while.
I don't know, David. The last planet you sent me to, they were really touchy and... you know, I'm not so sure about it this time.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I gotta go. I'm driving.
Okay.
He just like hangs up his 80s phone.
Call that fluffer I like.
Yeah. Make sure you get champagne. I want it delivered by a young boy. Producers in Hollywood. Am I right?
Yeah, guys? Right.
That's a relevant joke.
Relevant and terrible.
In space.
Just like our show.
Yay. Yeah, that's true. Turn the show off now. At the meeting... he and Lear laid out a philosophy which Victor would privately describe as militant socialism keyed to altruism.
That's such a jargony bullshit sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. He needs something to tweet out.
Yeah. That's it.
He needed
to update his Twitter bio.
Yeah.
That's what's written.
Davion was taking a shit and he was just like, I really got to tweet about this meeting here on Tuki'id. So, anyway, but they let him do it. Officials and authorities would have their assets placed in a blind trust, which is always good. So he's like, hey guys, listen, I understand 1500 years ago socialism never worked, but we're in space now and we have literally never had wars for stupid reasons.
Have they considered socialism as GOGs?
Let's do it again. In space this time.
Take all my money but poke your eyes in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how blind trust works, right?
Yeah, so
you get to poke your banker's eyes out.
Exactly. So all you need to do is stab out David Lear's eyes.
Yeah, that's it.
David Lee's ears.
David Lee Roth's ears.
David Lee
Roth's
ears. Cut them off. Give them in space.
Yeah.
They have their assets placed in a blind trust. Public service would be rewarded. Greed and corruption would be punished. And all weapons would be placed under the government's control. They mutually agreed that this approach would be most effective on worlds liberated from the Blakists, where there was a pre-existing authority, the pre-existing authority and structure had been completely eliminated, leaving a power vacuum.
Okay.
So he just was sliding into these planets' DMs, right, on their Instagrams.
Yeah.
Because he was like, hey, you guys, do you remember those cultists that took over and then I killed them all?
Yeah.
I'm in charge now. I'm taking all your guns away and your mechs and your money.
So send nudes.
Yeah, send nudes.
Send nudes. Let me tell you about socialism in space for a minute here.
Okay. Yeah, just like at the door in a bathroom. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Right. Eventually, Victor agreed to help them by encouraging his allies, Peter Steiner Davion, Yvonne Steiner Davion, and Hohiro Kurita, among others, to flock to his banner.
Okay.
So he was like, hey, guys, listen. He makes a good point about socialism, how it never worked on Earth,
but
that we've never gotten to fights in space over anything stupid.
Yeah.
So we should do socialism in space. And everybody was just like, big gaps in their memory about the 1950s on Earth before we went to space, where they're just like, yeah, you're right. Also, big gaps in their memory about their own history where they have literally had a war about anything.
Remember that time we let one company rule everything? Let's try... the exact opposite. Let's not try and find middle ground here.
Yeah.
Let's just go completely in the other direction and hope things work out.
Can you imagine how this goes? Stone, however, benevolently led the Republic of the Spear as its exarch, which is the highest office, until 3130. He retired and then mysteriously disappeared soon after, promising to return again should he be needed.
I'm going out for smokes. I'll be right back.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, he's like, well... finally made communism work. It only took us 1,600 years. I'll be back.
Well,
he's still wearing socks and sandals, just like shuffles out of the house. Like, Stone, you coming back? Yeah.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
When you need me, just call me.
Got like the new system set up for a week. He's like, well. Guess it works.
Yeah.
I'll be on vacation. Call me if you need me.
It's just like, it looks like just precariously balanced. Just like, good enough.
Good enough, yeah.
Yeah, don't you want to put that fire out? Nah.
Nah.
It'll run out of fuel eventually.
It's in space. The fire fades. It'll put itself out.
Yeah. The Republic of the Sphere rose from the ashes of the Word of Blake Jihad. Its capital is the city of Geneva on Terra. He was like, what's the most peaceful place on Earth? Disneyland. Doesn't exist anymore. What's the next best place? Geneva.
Geneva.
Which still exists.
They signed a piece of paper there once.
Yeah, exactly. A long time ago. Right before something else happened with communism. I don't know. We'll do that again. part of Stone's vision was to create a time of peace, and the Republic helped fulfill that vision by occupying many of the planets that the successor states had fought over for centuries. The successor states are the Great Houses, okay. So-called because they succeeded the original Star League. You remember when the UN fell apart in space?
Then they showed up.
And then they made the Star League 2, which also didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't. Then it's never seemed to work for these people, honestly.
Yeah, it's like people are shit in space. Also with tanks, though.
People are shit in space, also with tanks.
Yeah. Stone also acknowledged that the power came from the people, not the government, so he sought to weaken the power of the nobility. So
okay.
He's a very French
Revolution, very socialist, I mean.
Very French Revolution, kind of Marxy, Trotsky sort of homie.
Socialist, yeah.
If Trotsky vanished without a trace and was just like, I'll be back when I am most needed.
That's it. If Trotsky had actually convinced everyone in the world that this would work and then fucked off Aruba right after it happened. Yeah.
Forever. And never to be contacted again. Where he's just like, whatever, apparently they're like watching over the inner sphere. Like, he's just like, I'm just going to keep an eye on Russia and trust me, I'll be back if things get real bad.
That's it.
They're like, okay, Space Trotsky, you do that.
I'm the Marxist you deserve, but not the Marxist you need right now.
Yeah. Fucks off. He fucks off with Catwoman.
Yeah.
So the Republic of the Sphere was formally signed into being between the 7th and 15th of March in 3081. I don't know why they put those dates in there. Ides of March, I think, is the 15th.
I don't know what the Ides of March is, Peter.
It's when Julius Caesar was stabbed to death at the Senate.
It's happened, yeah.
Like a gypsy woman said, beware the Ides of March, which is some particular day, and then Caesar was...
Shakespeare? That sounds like Shakespeare.
Caesar, yeah, exactly. Caesar was just like, ah, fuck you, gypsy, and then he gets stabbed to death, also by Brutus.
Ha, idiot.
Yeah.
God, what an idiot.
And he's like, even you, Brutus, or whatever the line is?
A tu, Brute.
Yeah, that's it. Devlin Stone was sworn in as the first Exarch of the Republic. And then the Republic began to work on repairing the damage inflicted on the infrastructure of the worlds within the Republic of the Sphere and interstellar trade that by the Jihad. So the Jihad, obviously, the Jihadis came in, fucked up everything. He was like, well, we got to fix this first so we can have some trade and some communication. A key element of which was the establishment of the Republic Disaster Management Agency in 3081. So true to his socialist roots, I guess. He was just like, yeah, the power is with the people, and you know what we need now? More government.
Yeah. So you guys didn't like that last government, so I got rid of them, and in their place you guys are gonna get
a government,
a brand new government. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't worry, but a better one this time.
Trust me this one's really working for you guys.
Yeah. Power to the people, am I right?
That's it. I mean, they do have managers that they are actually working for, but they're working for you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just gonna disappear forever.
Yeah,
if that's
all
right.
I gave them all guns. That cool? Yeah. Okay, I'll be back.
We also own your guns.
Yeah,
if you forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Goodbye forever. The Republic. Yeah, I know. It's so fucking stupid. It's like such a fucking pipe dream.
Yeah, that's it.
Even like, at Battletech.
I feel like he just like had this moment where he like never thought that people would actually listen to him. Then he gets there and he's like, this shit is gonna go so bad. I have to get out of here. How did they let me do this for this long?
Yeah, it's like, he's been bullshitting his entire way. He's like, okay.
The fucking snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get a free
glass. A glass bottle is just pointing a wand at it. It just says communism on it. It's just like,
oh man,
standing out front, standing like in front of a wagon.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Being pulled by a mech instead of a horse.
Yeah.
That might be good art. Snake oil sales with a wagon, like hitched to an Atlas mech, being dragged behind it. Oh my god, the Republic surprisingly lasted for 51 years. Until the Dark Age suddenly began. And this is what I wanted to lead into. HPG network, the hyperpulse generators, which is the means of travel and communication.
Travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Stellar travel.
Collapsed on August 7th, 3132.
Oh, shit, dude.
80% of the network completely blacked out.
So this is what Verizon invented and ran, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, yeah, this is their interstellar telephone line.
Like, if you remember those two scientists, one of which wanted to be a chef and like died of food poisoning, and then one guy was like,
"Oh yeah,"
and the other guy was ridiculed,
yeah,
for his entire life.
Yeah.
They invented the hyperpulse generators,
yeah,
which are how they travel between star systems, where it's like you can teleport to empty space, but you still have to fly to your next planet or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then Comstar or Verizon figured out how to communicate so you could actually rule out beyond there. Because remember, they had like, I still can't remember the treaty, but there was a certain moment where Star League was just like, okay, if you're too far away to get my emails, you're on your own.
Yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
You're out of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, fucking, if you're not going to text back because you are too far out in space,
that's it.
I don't have time for this.
I sent a horse a week ago. I haven't heard word back.
It is frozen solid, drifting through space. And it's not going to get to your planet for 8,000 years. just like a mailman on a frozen horse.
On a frozen horse. Just like a present.
Holding a paper letter.
Oh, boy.
Like, that'd be good out of context, yeah, art,
that's
too.
It.
Just like, what's this frozen horse have to do with Battletech?
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that's what they had established. Yeah, and that was the first episode with those two guys who made the HPGs.
Yeah.
And like, so stupid.
So stupid. I want to be a chef, gets food poisoning.
Yeah. It's been a long journey. I'm kind of glad that I'm closing it out. I kind of wanted to not just be Battletech boy, but I can consider this finished.
Okay.
Now, like, once we finish this episode, so I can't imagine, unless I'm, like, mad desperate.
But to all the Battletech diehards out there, there will be more Battletech, don't worry about
it. If you ever want me to, I mean, this would have to be, like, honestly, this would have to be, like, listener feedback. Like, if you want more Battletech after this one, you're gonna have to ask for it.
You gotta ask nicely. You gotta kiss his ring. You gotta get down on your knees and grovel in front of Lord Peter over here. Oh,
I am Devlin Stone, Exarch of the, what the fuck is it called?
Does that make Jamie David Lear?
I guess so, yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Exarch of the Republic of the Sphere.
Okay.
A new republic. Order. Hang on. Back from a brief cut because I kicked my mic stand. And it got too far away from my face for me to comfortably speak into it. So the Dark Age comes out of nowhere. Everybody is blindsided when their internet goes down and they call Videotron and they're just like, just spell seat. Je peux pas télécharger mes pornos. Puis, je veux vraiment télécharger mes pornos. And then the guy's just like, let me transfer you to a French agent. And then that transfer didn't go anywhere because HPGs were down.
Oh, shit.
That's how
dude.
They found out.
Shit, dude.
He was in the wrong department.
All the French technicians are on another planet. And
yeah.
They just try and transfer it over and like throw another mailman into space.
Yeah, like, that's their new thing. You just freeze and launch mailman into space on horseback.
Well, that's it. It was like,
they can land comfortably.
What the HPG was the mailman had a little space heater. Space heater. That was unintended. But,
idiot.
He has a little heater. Yeah. He's got those little chemical hand warmers.
Icy hot pads?
Yeah, where you open it and then it gets really warm. He had those and he was fine, but now they've run out of those. So.
And they can't ship them anymore because they can't travel at light speed.
That's it. They just keep throwing them into space and they just keep freezing up there. Nobody's getting their mail anymore.
Yeah, so there's like a ring around 2 feet of like frozen mailmen.
The frozen husks of mailmen corpses.
Oh, God. Humanity was suddenly thrust back into the early days of space travel, where FTL communication was not possible, and messages had to be couriered by jump ships.
Okay.
Right? But jump ships can only go so far so fast. What I think is cool about the Battletech game, which I was complaining about earlier, is, you know how in XCOM you advance time just there?
Yeah.
Time advances a lot in Battletech when you travel. So
okay,
each planet will tell you how far away it is. So you latch onto a jump ship with your space shuttle that jumps you closer to your planet. And then it's still like 5-6 more days of space flight to actually get to
your
mission
day.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of cool details. Like I said,
it seems like a really detail-heavy game, which kind of makes sense coming from the style of tabletop game that it was. Because like I've played, to bring it back to Warhammer last week, it's another like super rules heavy, super, you know, like crunchy, like battlefield simulator,
yeah,
these tabletop games, and like there's so much little detail in there like that. So.
Yeah, and I had a big old nerd boner when I found that out in the game.
Yeah.
The problem is the combat. Like I've always, I haven't searched for mods recently, and I know a buddy of mine actually fucking beat the game. My ex never did, and like her and I were I mean, we still talk, but, like, her and I were talking about it for fucking years when found out about this game. Like when we were dating, after we stopped dating, all we still talked about was just, like, I can't wait for Battletech to come out. We both bought it day one. She got slightly further than I did, and I was like, yeah, so does it get less tedious? And she's like, no, it actually gets worse because a laser always does the same amount of damage, right?
Okay.
Which is cool. That's why you can put a laser, like a heavy laser, on a small mech and do your 40 damage.
Good damage, yeah.
Armor values go up.
Well, that doesn't sound
with heavier
very
mechs. And you can get upgraded versions of these weapons, but, like, I'm not going to invest that kind of fucking time into that. I played that game for 13 hours and felt like I achieved literally nothing. And I was not planning on... I'm not planning on going back.
No.
I've got my Pyre. I've got my Warframe.
Yeah, that's
the old,
it.
The old, old,
it's
old reliable.
It's sitting in the Steam graveyard now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sitting in the Steam graveyard with Hollow Knight as, like, these things that I really should like, but really don't.
Well, really, really don't
really
like,
don't,
you know?
Where was I? Right, this made, as we recall... from our first episode, this made command and control of armed forces and the governing of the Inner Sphere empires very difficult, if not impossible. Because that was the problem that they had before the HPG, was I can't fight or communicate with my armies or govern or help people or do anything in any reasonable amount of time because space is too big.
Space, like, when you think about it, though, space is pretty big.
Yeah. So despite the fact that Devlin Stone disappeared 2 years prior to this, stating he'd return when he was needed most, he has yet to be seen again.
Okay, so...
humanity is thrust into a space dark age, and the guy who's just like, when I am needed most, I shall return, still not back.
Well, that, I mean, maybe there's something bigger coming.
I feel like he just, like, cut up his face and disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like a fishmonger now.
He stole all the copper wire from the HPG and
yeah,
sold it.
He's waiting for the value to go up.
That's it.
It was him?
Yeah, it was him all along, man.
Because it's like an intergalactic thing. Like, it's not an HPG. What is he just, like, in his apartment has, like, 4 trillion kilometers?
Of copper
wire bundled up just like really tightly.
He's got a really nice loft.
Yeah, really nice loft. Weird amount of copper wire. Yeah. It's like in all of his Tinder pictures. It's so big.
Yeah,
he can't take
it.
A photo.
He can't get,
without,
an, he can't
get
an angle
out of the shot.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and he changed his name to, like, Devin Stone.
Yeah. Devin Stone.
Yeah, Devin Stone. Oh fuck. Yeah, so that, yeah, Loreboy's canon. Devlin Stone waited 2 years.
2 trillion kilometers
of copper wire from the HPG. Yeah. But yeah, and he hasn't been back. So apparently this is not as bad as it gets as far as Devlin Stone is concerned. Assuming he's alive or existed at all. Or
at all,
maybe
man.
He was just a beautiful dream.
Yeah.
That David Lear had when he was high on moldy prison camp bread. And he was just like, I'm telling you, Devlin Stone, he told me we're going to be space communists. It's going to be good. Let me call my dad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, buddy.
Yeah. Sure. The blackout allowed the houses, clans, and the other powers both within and outside of the Republic to begin reclaiming or conquering the worlds that had been ceded to or had been taken by the Republic. So you remember when he went to speak to Davion? When Devlin Stone went up to speak to Victor Davion, he was like, why don't you guys just give me all these planets close to Earth
so I can
make the Republic of the Sphere? Shit's going to be cool.
It's going to be better.
I'm going to leave forever. And they're like, okay, no problem. The second people can't make phone calls anymore...
everybody's falling apart.
Everything just falls apart. And they were just like, well, I guess we got to go to war.
Yeah, I guess everybody get out your guns.
Yeah.
Phone doesn't work. Get your gun.
Yeah. Really. It's like right at the end of an episode of Game of Thrones on TV.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones season 4 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just like cuts out your... It's like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to kill everyone on the moon.
Yeah. That's it. You got like the phone and the gun like right beside each other. All right. You got like a gun in like a glass case with like a little hammer. It says break if no service.
Yeah. And that's it. So they start to just reclaim all the planets that had been given to them by the Republic. Devlin Stone's gone. I guess they remained peaceful because they were afraid of him and then didn't do anything for 2 years. But then, yeah, cell service gets knocked out and everybody just goes fucking crazy because they can't tweet. So this was both the clans and the Great Houses started to take back the planets they'd given up. Because obviously the clans, after the invasion was done, some of them were more cooperative than others and had, like, clan worlds or shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, before long, military factions whose loyalty lay with one of the great houses or clans began to organize and take action against the Republic government. Several Republic officials, planetary leaders and nobles, and industrial giants who pledged their allegiance to the greater powers of the Inner Sphere, or supported, in some cases, headed these factions.
Okay.
House Liao, which we remember was not super cool with the Republic of the Sphere, was obviously the first of the great houses to invade the Republic, claiming worlds like Liao, which the Confederation had grudgingly taken. Surrendered to the Republic, used military force to claim the world.
Okay, yeah.
So they just went straight back to war.
So after they said, we need this for peace, they gave it up, phone went down, they took it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
By force.
By force.
Yeah.
With gun,
exactly. The other houses quickly followed suit, using the gains of their factions to make footholds deep in the Republic.
Using those sick gains?
Yeah, sick gains, bro.
I'm sorry.
Get out of here. I'm going to finish this by myself. Proving once again that the world of the Inner Sphere is a horrible place, and people cannot get along.
No, yeah, that much is clear.
Even at the highest levels of the Republic government, rival factions began to appear, most notably the Senate Alliance, which attempted to wrest control from the current Exarch.
Besieged... It was the big boss, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this would be the second Exarch of the Republic. So besieged from within and without Exarch Jonah Levin, on October 1st, 3135, enacted the Fortress Republic. Which sounds pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool.
The Fortress Republic was the name given to a plan formed by Devlin Stone.
Are we tying back to Team Fortress lore now?
Yes. So Devlin Stone, funnily enough, he had this plan, which was called the Fortress Republic, which was exactly what you were talking about, was just like, in case of societal collapse, break here, make Fortress Republic.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was October 1st, 3135. Jonah Levin... enacted the Fortress Republic. This was a plan formed by Devlin Stone and carried out by Jonah Levin to help preserve the Republic of the Sphere from the outside forces that threatened to destroy it.
Okay.
The plan called for the complete withdrawal of all remaining Republic forces to behind a border that roughly encompassed the outline of the Republic's Prefecture 10. And I have no idea what this means, and it did not have a link. In brackets, though, it does have the capital prefecture containing Terra.
Okay, so I'm guessing they're like neighborhoods.
Yeah, so
the Republic is like gerrymandered
space neighborhoods. Yeah. So the Fortress Republic has Earth at the center, because Earth has always been at the center of the Inner Sphere
of the universe when you think about it.
Yeah, and then when they pulled in, the capital prefecture containing Terra. I'm not sure how far out it goes. I couldn't find that, but it's Earth at the center, couple of planets around that. Yeah. That's it.
Neptune got shafted.
Oh, they left that shit behind. Yeah. Like, what do you need all that? What, argon for?
Yeah.
What's it even made out of? Yeah. Is it methane? In addition to this withdrawal, any attempts at contacting the New Republic would be met with hostility.
No more throwing mailman into space.
No, they were just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
They would shoot all the messengers.
Yeah, yeah.
Launch all the, just blast all those fucking frozen mailmen out of space.
Yeah, there's like frozen mailmen like leaving the planet, and they're like blasting them with lasers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, you don't.
They have a lot of anti-mailman cannons that just shoot angry dogs up into space.
Oh man, have we jumped the shark, Peter?
I think so.
Is this it?
We did it.
Is this our best episode ever? I don't know. Oh, I'm having a lot of fun here.
What are we talking about again? Yeah, it's like usually when we have a running gag, like a through line for the episode, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because we're both a little sleepy.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Jamie's not here to rein us in.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Just
it.
A cascade. It's a cascade of nonsense.
Yeah.
We are getting to the end here. It is a shorter episode just to kind of wrap up the BattleTech saga.
Saga,
as it were.
Saga.
Yeah, so they were shooting angry dogs in the space at all the mailmen. Lord boy scan.
Oh,
that
boy.
Happened. BattleTech's so wacky. They're just like, people just can't get along because they keep launching angry dogs into space.
They must have been taking so much, they must have been doing so much coke in the 80s whenever they came up with this story.
Yeah, because they just kept shooting mailmen at each other. And obviously, in the rock, paper, scissors of mailman, dog beats mailman.
Dog beats mailman. Yeah, that's obvious.
What,
yeah.
But what beats dog?
Snake.
It's snake.
Snake.
Yeah.
Mailman ships snake to Antarctica whenever.
Right.
Whenever he beats snake.
In a box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He boxes him up, ships him to Antarctica.
And then
no
mailman,
snakes in Antarctica.
Mailman bites dog. And then snake scares dog away. Yeah. Or bites dog.
Exactly.
A lot of biting.
So
because mailman bites snake? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What if that's what if the picture for Battletech this time is just like a mailman
biting a
being,
snake.
Being chased by a dog, stuffing a snake into a box.
Stuffing a snake into a box.
And just, and like
his lower half is frozen to a horse.
Yeah, exactly. It just says Battletech. No context.
I mean, I can dream. I personally can dream.
I don't know
but
if
that's
I'll,
what you'll choose.
I don't know what I'll do. There's going to be frozen mailmen in there somewhere.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Why'd we do this? Good night, everybody. Right. Although
back on track.
Back on track. Decent segue. The hostility, which was not just angry dogs. It also included the destruction of any ships that crossed the border into their territory.
So these are the houses that are trying to cross into Republic territory.
Anybody.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Houses, clans, anybody who tried to come into the Fortress Republic.
Y'all better
kablamo.
Fuck off.
Kablamo.
Nobody's coming home.
No. We'll kill you.
Earth is ours now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if it's just a bunch of, like, if they say don't shoot the messenger, if it's a bunch, and you don't punch a guy with glasses, a bunch of mailmen wearing glasses on a spaceship. Boom. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
We'll fucking just smoke him.
Yeah, that's it. I love the idea, too, that, like, the phones are down, so the houses are showing up at, like, their neighbor's place and, like, knocking on the door and being like, hey, Jim, the phones are down. We're going out to the barge. You want to come? He just opens the door with a shotgun. Just, get the fuck off my porch, Gary. Gary, you're not fucking welcome here. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, whoa,
okay, man. Okay, I'm fucking leaving. We're going to the bar, man.
Hey, Jonah, cool off, man. We'll be on Mars if you need us. All right?
All right, just get out of here, man.
Cool down, man. Yeah. Filthy white wife beater.
Yeah,
just dog tags hanging up the end of the shotgun. Just like, what the fuck? A lantern?
Yeah, tell Jeff I saw him looking over my fence, okay?
Yeah. It's like a super short fence, yeah, too. It's like knee high.
He's just like barbecuing in his own backyard. Glances over.
Yeah, glances over. He's like, get out of here.
Oh, boy. Jonah sure has a lot of dogs these days, no?
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy, what are you... Just skip Mr. Levine's house on your paper run this morning.
Yeah.
He seems to be a little...
agitated.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. This law had the effect of sealing off the entire prefecture, abandoning the remaining Republic worlds to foreign powers. So his wife left for work, right? Mrs. Levine left for work. He went crazy during the day because the phone stopped working, and then he changed the locks.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 8 hours she was gone.
He had a schizophrenic break.
Yeah.
Stopped taking his medicine right when the phone stopped working, and he was sure that it was a ploy by his wife.
Exactly.
To get him, they had his brain extracted by the government.
Yeah, the space government.
Exactly.
Star League's coming for your brain.
That's it. They're socialists. They don't believe in the government, right? All of a sudden, phones are down. Must be the government.
Yeah. They're coming for us. Funnily enough, the fact that they sealed off the entire prefecture and abandoned the remaining Republic worlds to foreign powers, part of the Fortress Republic plan was to retake conquered fortress land. So they were just like, we're gonna abandon these planets for now.
For now. But
when they become reoccupied, we will then...
Then we'll fight over them.
Fight whoever's there.
You remember we had the home field advantage? Yeah, we said not to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
We'd rather fight a ground war in Russia in winter.
Exactly like that. Where, I don't get it. Obviously the collapse of the HPGs does fuck up a society as large as the Inner Sphere.
It's like a big, big panic button.
Yeah, but the Republic of the Sphere took this... A little far.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
They heard the raid sirens, and before checking to see if it was just a drill, everybody fucking panicked.
Yeah, exactly.
they were crushing each other on the stairs down,
drinking
trying to get out
brain.
The fucking building.
Yeah. This is just like a stampede of people. So this is all occurring during the Dark Age. Also during these events were less panicked people walling off their space fortresses and shooting the mailman. Jessica Merrick from House Merrick,
okay.
The daughter of the false Thomas Merrick, engineered the reformation of the Free Worlds League, which I mentioned was the first great house out in the Inner Sphere, and that's the purple folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they're purple, they're not aliens, but their house color, their crest purple. Is purple, yeah. Purple and like teal or whatever.
They're Ravenclaw.
Yeah, and Hufflepuff.
Is Hufflepuff purple too?
I don't fucking know. Yellow and checkers or something?
I don't know. We're this outing ourselves as not nerds. Oh, no.
This isn't a Harry Potter episode.
Somebody tweeted me, Harry Potter color.
Yeah, please. Tell me Hufflepuff's crest color?
Yeah, I guess.
Is it a badger?
No, no. Maybe? Yes? Yes, it is a badger.
Yeah.
You're right.
Jessica Merrick of House Merrick, the Free Worlds League. She puts it all back together. The OG. The OG House. She also legitimized her claim to the throne of House Merrick by legacy by marrying Thaddeus Merrick. Scion.
Oh, married your cousin.
Yep.
That's good.
Scion of the line of Alice Russet Merrick. She largely succeeded in her reformation plan and was pronounced Captain General of the Reformed Free Worlds League on July 3rd, 3139. So let me see. That was what, 3132? 7 years it took her after the collapse of the HBG network.
Okay.
After the blackout. Obviously, I mean, we spoiled this in the future because this is the current BattleTech setting. This marked the end of the tabletop pen and paper game and led into the kind of HeroClix minifigure game, MechWarrior Dark Age.
Okay, cool.
But there are figurines with little dials on them. My buddy Kyle has a bunch of them.
Yeah, I didn't know that HeroClix did.
Yeah, they did. Well, they did MechWarrior Dark Age.
I didn't
Age.
Know it was MechWarrior canon.
It was WizKids did it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's that's kind of where it stops because the brand, for some reason, has had a lot of trouble gaining any ground.
Okay.
All of the games, so the original MechWarrior game that was announced that turned into MechWarrior Online was set in like 3049. It was in like the Second Succession War, I believe.
Okay.
So that was still in the past.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that was set during a canonical period and not some other fucking bullshit. And also, I guess, potentially could have been a good game. MechWarrior Online's timeline is a bit wobbly. It starts in the 3040s, I believe, and goes all the way up to the clan invasion, because there was like a clan mech expansion pack a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned that, yeah.
That game's pretty good. Again, the damage threshold is way too high. It takes too long to kill things. Yeah. It's all right. As far as free-to-play games go, it seems fair enough.
Okay.
Not like Path of Exile or Warframe fair, but like fair.
Enough. Yeah, okay.
Seems good. And I remember watching some videos. The MechWarrior Online community is also apparently quite positive, a lot like Warframe, where they're very helpful.
I could see that.
And they communicate a lot on chat.
Yeah.
And the way the map works in MWO is you've got, like, whatever, A to J and then 1 to 10 or whatever the fuck it is. So it's just like, yeah, I spot an assault mech at whatever. It's like Battleship. At A2. There's an assault mech.
A2 Brute.
Exactly. Yeah. Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
So people do that on the chat a lot. I've played it for about 10 hours.
Okay.
Never got good at it. I'm not really into it, but I recommend checking it out. It's free, so you might as well.
Okay.
And then there is a MechWarrior game coming out, MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, which is like a first-person sim game.
Like The Sims?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, rat's bad.
Yeah, rat's bad. Oops, yeah. Make a platter.
And that's coming out next year, I believe.
Okay.
Which I'm looking very forward to, because that is a first-person mech sim piloting game made by the people who make MWO.
So your mechs go to work.
Have sex.
Learn how to play the piano. They woohoo, it's called, in The Sims.
You can put your mech in the pool and it'll drown.
Yeah.
You can be a complete sociopath.
Yeah.
But you run a mercenary company in that game, similar to what you do in the BattleTech game, except it's first-person combat, so even if the damage thresholds on mechs are way too high, it's a lot more involved, and I can't imagine being nearly as bored with that. Yeah, and even though we canonized the fact that maybe it was Devlin Stone that stole all the copper wire for the HPGs, at present, the identity of the mastermind behind the blackout is still a mystery. The network is still not fully functional, and the Republic remained closed with no sight of the promised return of Devlin Stone.
Okay, so it's either, in my mind, it's either he did it, or the writers are like, something even worse is going to happen after all this. And then they're like, well, I guess we'll sell to HeroClix and not write anymore.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
The HeroClix figurines are cool. Like I was saying, my buddy Kyle has a couple, which is neat. And like, because it's all kind of ragtag, like a lot of the newer mechs look kind of weird.
Okay.
Like the Mad Cat now goes up to, like the Mad Cat was like one of the originals during the clan invasion. Diamond Shark made the Mad Cat Mark II, which was slightly heavier and could had jump jets, so it could get a little bit of extra height.
Okay.
And it was more of a ballistic-based mech. It had Gauss rifles instead of lasers, was it like its main loadout.
Okay.
Then there's the Mad Cat Mark III, which is in the Dark Gauge tabletop, and that's a medium mech, so it's a lighter, faster Mad Cat. And then there's the Mad Cat Mark IV, which I'll show you a picture of. Looks stupid.
Okay.
It looks like a wax statue of a mad cat got a little warm, went very fast for a second, and then cooled off.
Oh,
because
geez.
It's like a mad cat, but like sloped backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like wedge shaped.
Okay.
So it's weird.
Okay.
Like the Mad Cat Mark IV is like the HeroClix figurine I always wanted, but I've never found it anywhere. And when I was a kid, this was after I'd stopped playing Mage Knight, which was also by the HeroClix people, and before I had disposable income and to support idiotic hobbies.
Yeah.
So I never actually bought any of those figurines.
Got into those,
Kyle yeah. has a Cougar mech, though, which is cool, and then a couple of industrial mechs, because even, like, people were so desperate for weapons, basically. You could have, like, if your industrial mech just had a big-ass drill on it, they were like, good enough. We'll take them.
That'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll take it. So
or
that's
a katana,
it.
Maybe.
Or maybe two katanas. There is one mech that's in the, which we've mentioned before, that's in the 80s cartoon, is the main character's mech is the Axeman.
Yeah, yeah.
Just has a big fuck-off axe like, in a fist. Instead of like building it into an arm, they like gave it a fist and put an axe in it.
Yeah. You may have laser, but I have axe.
Yeah. So in that rock, paper, scissors, triangle, axe beats laser.
Axe beats laser. Laser beats... Despite snake.
The, yeah.
Snake beats axe.
Snake beats axe. Yeah. We're unclear as to why, but I didn't...
It wraps up the axe and you can't swing it. You can't
right.
swing it properly. It gets all wonky.
You don't want to pick up axe with a snake
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, you don't want to touch an axe with a snake
that's
on it.
Gross.
That's gross. They're not slimy, but they look like they should be slimy.
They're shiny, though. Yeah. They don't have legs. How do they move? I don't like it. We don't like it so much we give our mechs legs. Or they're creeping us out. Yeah, so that's basically the current end of the Battletech timeline.
Oh, boy. That was a fun. That
yeah.
was a fun. Man.
That was
what a ride.
That was a goof and a half. Eh? Hopefully you could follow that.
Yeah. Good luck. Anybody that made it through that fucking landmine.
Yeah, there was only a little bit of an interlude there. We got the history out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this is as far as it goes now into the future is 3139. The Dark Age tabletop game takes place during that, and no games have been set in the Dark Age as of yet. And I don't know if I mentioned it in my little ramble there about the MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, that game is also set in the past. Like, prior to the clan invasion, there are no clan mechs in that game.
Okay.
For some reason, they keep doing that. Like, the most popular mech of all time is fucking Mad Cat, and it's just like, no, we're not gonna
do
that. Why don't
that
we
one.
Set it in 3039, and you need to help Princess Jasmine get her throne back. She dies, despite being the narrator.
But you get this genie, voiced by Robin Williams, at least.
It's weird how they, like, digitized his voice for the Battletech game.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. Master! Commander!
Yeah.
He never had a mech like me.
I'm not gonna try and do a Robin Williams, because I do not have the chops, but I respect you.
Yeah, I did my best, though.
Smokin'! Was that him?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Robin Williams in the mask, which is the soundboard... The voiceover lines from the mask are now part of the new Battletech expansion.
Hey, somebody get this mask off my face! That was from the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Octopus was there.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense. What is this? Anyway, Ethan.
Dr. Octopus was there. Spidey, put this mask on! Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like with the mask and Venom are the same. What's his name? Brock? Eddie Brock?
Eddie Brock, yeah.
Is the mask?
Is the mask, yeah.
Yeah. And now Tom Hardy is the mask?
Yes.
That movie looks bad.
I think it looks okay.
Yeah. I want to see Upgrade. Anyway, if I wanted to go see Venom with you, Ethan, how might I contact you?
Tweet me, at Ethan the Dead Man. Make sure to follow at The Lore Boys and Lore Boys Podcast, maybe.
TheLoreBoys.com.
TheLoreBoys.com. Check out the blog. Tell your friends. Leave us a review on iTunes. Or just email us a review. And we'll read it. And we'll love it.
We'll print it out on paper so you can hear that good...
Yeah, we'll definitely print it. None of us has a printer as far as I know.
I do.
Well, I can't confirm that. None of us has a printer as far as I know, which is what I said. So I can't guarantee that we'll be able to print it, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll try. I mean,
maybe we'll go to Peter's and confirm it.
Yeah. I mean... It's like Schrodinger's printer. It's like I both own and do not own a printer.
We're at Jamie's. You don't own a printer. We're at yours.
That is,
you do own a printer.
That is correct.
Unless if you have some sort of weird hyper galactic web that you
some
can...
Some sort of HPG.
Some sort of HPG that you can send a file to your home and have it print there without us going there, which doesn't make any sense.
I don't fucking think so.
And Peter, where can we find you?
If you'd like to confirm whether or not I own a printer, you can ask me on Twitter, @PeteO'Donohue. Old Aunt Peter on Instagram, which is basically dead. And don't even fucking bother. And then it's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram as well. I am the artiste for the show.
He's the artist.
I do all of the silly pictures that the one you're looking at right now, possibly, if you're listening to this on WordPress, of a frozen mailman being shot out of the sky by angry dogs.
It's total... so stupid just to say. Oh, man.
Battletech, everybody. That's where you're going to... I'm the one who did it. It was me. It's my fault.
And if you're looking for our third member, who's not here today because he's a hardworking boy, but maybe he's listening, check him out at JAYMILLK
64
on PSN, yeah, I believe.
And, James Miller _TLB on Instagram.
And James the Miller on Facebook.
Yeah.
And for anyone who wants to support the show financially, we are offering Loreboys Premium. It's a service that we offer where we give you something in return for supporting the show. Kind of like a Patreon, but better.
Oh, yeah. In exchange for money, we offer you goods and services.
Yeah. And this week, we have a pretty exciting opportunity. We know we've been getting a lot of people reaching out to us recently saying they want to meet us. They want to do something with us. They want to collab with us.
Put their hands in our front pockets.
Yeah, so we've started a new canine training institute. We're basically just getting the little guys ready to get shot out of cannons. And we need somebody to come over and be a target for when we shoot a Rottweiler at something.
We'll wrap you up in sleeping bags and duct tape the joints. Don't
exactly,
worry about it.
Yeah. And we're looking for moving targets. That's kind of why we're doing this. We're not sure how to make something move on rails. We've seen rails. We know rails exist, but we don't know how to make
things
move
on
them. But we're just going to get people instead.
Yeah.
So everybody that subscribes to Loreboys Premium for the low, low price of $39.99 a month, we'll get a chance to have a Rottweiler shot at them by yours truly, Ethan and Peter, and maybe Jamie.
You'll be entered into the closed beta we're having.
Yeah, exactly.
The anti-mailman dog cannons.
And we will be opening it up eventually. We're just not sure when yet.
There will be an open beta.
Yeah, yeah.
For the being a target for angry dogs.
Yeah.
Well, that constitutes a Loreboys
ow,
ow, bow out.
Ow!
Little bow out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.